Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, and I'm very excited about having Dr. John Christie back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. We had him on a couple of years ago, right after he was one of the people who won a Nobel Prize. He was part of a team, I think is the way he explained this to us at the time, of people who did some very important scientific work, and he was part of a group that received a Nobel Prize together. And he is professor of atmospheric science and the director of Earth Science Center at the University of Alabama in Huntsville, Alabama. That's north central Alabama. And he's our friend, John Christie. Dr. Christie, welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's good to have you back. Did I say that reasonably correct on your Nobel Prize?
Yes, I was one of the lead authors on the report that received that prize. Right. Along with, I should say, the other half went to Al Gore.
Yeah, your team got half and he got the other half. Is that what happened?
That's right.
So what's wrong with that picture? Is that what you're saying?
Well, our prize was a certificate.
Oh, you didn't get any money?
No money.
He got all the money?
Well, he got half the money. I don't know what the other half went to except making certificates.
Oh, I... Those, it must be a really nice certificate, Dr. Christie.
It is.
That's great. Well, I know you're proud of it, and I'm proud of you too. But now, as I remember, you have a little bit of a different take on the climate situation than Al Gore does.
I would say that's an understatement there. We don't find the kind of catastrophe looming here when we actually look at the data, and over in UA Huntsville, we actually build climate data sets of the globe.
You don't make movies. You actually build real scientific models, don't you?
Well, we build data sets, you know, observations of the real climate of
right.
the real world, and we publish those. And again, we just don't find the catastrophe looming here.
Were your data sets, were your findings part of the data that was left out? That we now know from the release of those emails from the university in England.
Well, I would say that in the most recent IPCC report of 2007, our results were minimized heavily in the report, so that other results would be magnified.
So folks, you're listening to a man whose work was the fell victim to some of the stuff that we found in this what do they call it now, email gate or climate gate?
What's called climate gate.
Yeah.
I was mentioned in 51 of those emails, and
wow,
in a very nice manner.
you were identified by name in a disparaging way in 51 of the emails that were suppressed, that were
That's
released,
right.
I should say.
That's right.
Wow, how did you feel about that?
Well, some of the folks I wouldn't have, you know, didn't bother me that because I would have suspected they would treat me that way. But
right.
there were a couple I thought, you know, I didn't expect that behind my back that is what they would be doing and saying.
So did they, so you found out who some of your friends really weren't then, I guess. some of your respected colleagues. So here's my question. Did they look at your stuff, at your information in a way as if they didn't value it, that it wasn't worthy of their work being compared to their work, or do they look at it as darn good work that was dangerous to their cause?
Well, I think they looked upon it as a very big threat because our work is pretty solid.
Yeah.
And so they were protecting a view of the world, and the only way they could protect it was by denying people like me a chance to get into this process.
And who is the supporters? I mean, what regimes are supporting their ability to suppress your information? Who's in charge of that?
I would call them the climate establishment, and there's no one person in charge, but it's a group of folks. If you read through the emails, you find they're very close. They have a message they want to preserve, and they want to keep out anyone who dissents from that message. You know, this is the exact opposite of science, the way science works.
Right.
And so they are spread throughout the United States and England mainly.
And they've got a hotline. They've got a direct line to the media and the politicians who have the loudest voice in their favor.
Well, they have a direct line in the sense that they have a story that is media friendly. You know, it's catastrophe,
right.
It's disaster.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff that gets in the media.
Exactly. And folks, this is fascinating. Now, we had a great visit with Dr. Christie last time he was here, but so much has happened since then, including a big event over in Copenhagen. And we'll come back. We're gonna get Dr. Christie to tell us a little bit more about his thoughts on climate change, global warming, the carbon scare, and the religion that some of these people practice. Not science. It's not science, folks. It's a religion. 20 till. Stay with us.
They come from the cities and they come from the smaller towns. And beat up cars with guitars and drummers go.
Little Heartland Music bringing us back 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. And that's our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance, and you'll find a lot of stuff there. I think it will help you with your small business. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Dr. John Christie is our guest, folks. I'm very excited about him being back on the show. He's an atmospheric scientist, ladies and gentlemen. He's a Nobel Prize-winning atmospheric scientist, and he teaches this. He studies this. He's a researcher. He's a noted, globally world-class noted scientist on the topic of our climate, of the climate of our country. I mean, of our globe. And he's here talking to us about what's going on right now. He mentioned earlier in the previous segment that this climate gate, you know, all the emails that were released that showed that some of the scientists in England were and others were repressing other information that didn't agree with them. And Dr. Christie was on. He says on 51 of those emails, mentioned by name, 51 of those emails as the bad guy. Now, Dr. Christie, you are one of the scientists in the world who doesn't buy into this the climate change scare tactics that are going on right now. What would you say would be for you and people who think like you, who your research shows something different? What would you say the percentage of all scientists who are working on this? What is the percentage?
Well, if you're talking about scientists who work on it, I could only guess that probably one out of five of us are in my kind of camp.
Yeah, so you're in the minority.
Yeah, we are the minority, but we actually do the work of building these data sets, you know.
And the others don't?
Well, most of the others are climate modelers.
They
have a theory in what they think the world might be doing.
Oh, so your stuff is not theory, you're actually doing it in real life.
Yeah, we take real data from real satellites and real balloons and real weather stations.
and so, you know, somebody once said, Reagan once was talked about an economist, and he said economists are people who look at something that's happening in reality in the marketplace, and they wonder if it would work in theory.
Yeah.
And I wonder if some of your folks are like that.
Well, I've heard him say he wanted a one-armed economist so that they wouldn't say, but on the other hand.
Yeah, exactly. But
yeah, it's very difficult to actually deal with the real world because it's so complicated, and that is what we do with the real observations.
And it's inconvenient what you do to play on Mr. Gore's the title of Mr. Gore's movie. It's inconvenient. You guys have to do real work to do that, don't you?
Right, and we can show that Al Gore's claims of worse hurricanes is false, more tornadoes, that's false, more drought, floods, that's false, because we actually measure these events.
Well, here's the thing and of course, Dr. Christie, I come at this from a business standpoint. I mean, obviously, I'm a resident of planet Earth, and I've got children and grandchildren, and I want their world to be safe and healthy and everything. But still, from a business standpoint, I have to think about what's going on, what this all this climate change legislation proposals, what all these things are going to do to the marketplace. Because I also know that we have to feed ourselves, we have to make a living, and I don't want the U.S. economy to be harmed. And so my perspective is that that okay, let's say that the climate change zealots are right, but why do we have to cripple the U.S. economy? And that's what this is all about. This is a U.N. attempt, in my opinion, Dr. Christie. This is nothing more than a U.N.-led attempt to make the United States economy less competitive with the other countries. What do you think?
Well, there's no question that our economy would be made less competitive if any of these bills passed. But let me assure you, you are not destroying the planet by emitting carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is plant food. It's the stuff that...
It's one half of the photosynthesis process, isn't it?
It's the food plants need.
Yeah.
So that means that back to the point about small business, you're not destroying the planet. Plus, these bills also have a boomerang effect, or the negative consequences of sending our jobs overseas.
Exactly.
Where there will be more emissions from what they do rather than less, because we're so much more efficient in this country.
Because China has one-fifth of our economy, but they've recently overtaken us as being the largest carbon emitter.
That's right. Their plants, their coal-fired power plants, are much less efficient than ours, and so they do emit much more per dollar of goods that they create.
One of the things that I'm unhappy about, Dr. Christie, is that in the last 30 years at least, American businesses have done an incredible job in reducing our dependence upon petroleum, carbon-based petroleum, per dollar of GDP. Isn't that really the way we should measure the performance of a country with regard to their carbon footprint?
Yes. When I testified before the Senate about 10 years ago, I used the exact picture of our GDP, our carbon emissions per GDP. It's been going down. It is still going down because in a capitalistic society, we try to wring out all the costs.
Right.
And so we are producing as much with less and less energy. And so this is the place you want to manufacture if you think about the planet in that regard.
Well, think about how much Americans feed other countries. That's coming from our more efficient farming practices. A lot of other things that we do that other countries want, we're doing it with less output per dollar of GDP, per dollar of production, per unit of production. And to me, folks, we've got to use that. But now, this is an inconvenient truth. What we're talking about, what Dr. Christie and I are talking about, is an inconvenient truth for the climate change zealots. They don't want to hear anything about this, and you'll never hear them use the GDP argument. You'll never. They don't like that argument. It's inconvenient. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with us. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and Dr. John Christie is our guest. I don't want to miss a second with him. Folks, if you want to find out more about his writings and the work that he does, here's how you find it. Go to UAH, that's for University of Alabama Huntsville, UAH.edu, and type in John Christie with a Y, CHRISTY, John Christie, and you can find his papers, the work that he's done. Is that right, John? Did I say that correctly?
That's right.
Dr. Christie, recently there was another big powwow in Copenhagen, comparable to the Kyoto Accords of 97, I guess it was, 97, 98, I've forgotten. And this was supposed to be Kyoto 2. And would you give us your opinion of what happened there? What was the result of all that?
Well, it was a huge event, but not much at all happened as the outcome of it. So a lot of people met, talked, argued, and got publicity, but the outcome was just people saying, well, we think we're going to try to do something about our emissions.
But America, at least implicitly, maybe explicitly, committed hundreds of billions of dollars, didn't they? Didn't the Secretary of State and the President commit a lot of money?
Well, they said they were going to try to get the money available for other countries to, quote, cope with climate change, even though no one can prove that humans caused whatever is going to happen. But that was about the extent of it. I don't think there's anything legally binding at all.
So basically, hundreds of millions of dollars no telling how many tons of carbon was put into the air that wouldn't have been was put in the air to accomplish really nothing.
I think that about sums it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. And do you see, what do you think the prospects are in America? I can't help the other countries, but in America, what do you think the prospects are for there to be any kind of serious cap-and-trade carbon limiting legislation?
I think the chances are fairly low. I think they will pass something that's cosmetic, but in the end, they know that they cannot make their voters pay a whole lot more for gasoline, pay a whole lot more for their utility bills,
right,
pay a whole lot more for everything they buy and touch and eat. That's just not a winning strategy for the next election.
Now, recently, and from your mouth to God's ears, I think you're right about that. But Dr. Christie, recently the EPA passed a finding. I've forgotten the term that they use.
Endangerment finding.
And thank you, sir. Endangerment finding for that. And tell us what that means. What happened?
Well, that means the EPA is passing some regulations that are supposed to be designed to cut carbon emissions. I doubt they will. And remember, EPA regulations can be litigated, and that is going on right now. That these will be put into court systems.
The Supreme Court has already ruled that the EPA has the ability to do this.
Right, but then the EPA endangerment finding can be challenged on the basis of what they think they need to do with the regulation.
Oh. So the Supreme Court says you can make the regulation, but there's some question, there may be some debate over what they can actually, how they can actually enforce it.
Right, and whether these regulations actually will solve the problem they're supposed to solve.
Ah, very interesting. So this is the end run kind of thing that the administration is trying to do, folks, around the inability to pass a climate change. Dr. Christie, what do you think? There are people, you know these people, you actually know who these people are, who are what I call the climate change zealots. What do you think is the real essence of their point? Do you think they're really worried about the planet, or do you think they've got some kind of a one world attitude and they hate America?
Well, it's different things for different people. I think it does come down to folks who have had a lot of attention given to themselves, and that's a drug if you think about it.
And maybe even some money.
Oh, and their funding is certainly held up very well, including the fellow in England who receives a lot of Department of Energy money from our country.
Oh. So we funded the guy who suppressed information.
That's the way it looks, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I've got 30 seconds. Your last thoughts. We'd like to hear your last thoughts on the matter.
Okay, well, energy really makes life less brutal and short, and so I don't think in the ultimate sense that energy will be restricted because it's too good for too many people, and carbon dioxide is not bad for the planet.
It's actually one half of the photosynthesis process, isn't it?
Yes, and without it, nothing happens.
without carbon dioxide is our friend, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it right here from the scientists. Dr. Christie, I've got a lot more questions for you. Will you come back again and talk to us again another day?
Sure.
I've enjoyed having you here. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We'll see you next time. Dr. John Christie, ladies and gentlemen, with the University of Alabama in Huntsville. That's UAH.edu. Fascinating, fascinating work that he's doing. And we'll be hearing more from him. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.